Today we want to look at the idea of meditation on God's Word. And I'm reminding you here that this is a pretty big deal in Scripture. The glossary of God, we call the series this because there are certain words that we Christians use that really are not used very much elsewhere. These are Christian terms with Christian definitions, and we call them Christianese. This is our language, the language of Zion, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense to other people for us to talk about these things, but it's precious to us. And so today, meditation. Sometimes we look for a definition. Here's my favorite way to describe it. You know what meditation is, for sure, because you know how to worry. And if you know how to worry, then you know how to meditate. Just keep coming back to the same good thoughts of God over and over again. Same as worry is going back to the bad thoughts over and over again. So if you're a person who worries, let us say that you worry about your health, then you'll be doing your housework or your yard work, and all of a sudden the thought comes to your mind, oh, there's something wrong, and you begin to worry. And then you might be distracted for a little while, but after a little while you come back and you worry some more. And maybe you'll eventually fall asleep at night, but then when you wake up, it's not very long, you start worrying again. Well, those same kinds of things, to return to the negative thoughts of worry, return to the positive thoughts about God, the good thoughts about God, and you have a pretty good idea of what meditation is. So we have to make a little distinction between our kind of meditation and the meditation that's done in other religions. So compared to yoga, Hinduism, New Age, because this is Christianese meditation, but they also have their meditation. So what's the big difference? First bullet, the other religions seek to clear their minds of all personal emotions and choices in order to unite with the universe God, who is impersonal, who has no emotions. So remember this in Hinduism. The idea is that God is not just in the universe, like we say. God is the universe. So we would say, sure, God is in the air, and God is even in the cells of your body, the cells of the tree, the cells of the rock. God is everywhere. He's in all those spaces between the electrons and the protons. So God is everywhere. But if you took away the rock, the tree, the stars, space, you still have God. God is in everything, but God is not everything. So in Hinduism, God is the rock. The rock is God. God is the tree. The tree is God. And so trees don't have any feelings. Trees don't have any choices to make. And so the Hindu wants to be just like the tree, just like the rock, just like the moon. No emotions, no thoughts. He wants to melt his personality into the universe and quit being separate. Well, the other possibility, of course, is that the Hindu person, the New Age person, the yoga person is opening up his mind to the demonic, and he wants to have a new consciousness, new thoughts come into his mind. And so he's hoping that that happens. And that oftentimes ends up being spirit guides, as they call them, demons, as we call them. And that's what they're doing in meditation. They're trying to sweep the mind. No thoughts, no emotions, no choices. Empty the mind. We, on the other hand, we're trying to fill our minds with the true messages of God, the biblical messages of God. And we're trying to have these things so saturate our minds that they just dominate our thoughts, just like worry dominates your thoughts when you don't want worry to do that. And in the bullet at the bottom set over, we believe that number one, the first option is catastrophic, for you to sweep your mind and invite evil spirits to direct you is catastrophic. Nothing could be worse than that. So while it's true that other religions have meditation, what they're calling meditation is not what we call meditation. And it is, in fact, catastrophic in our view. All right. So let's look at some of the Bible verses about when we should try to focus on the biblical messages of God, not our own man-made messages that we say are from God, but the true biblical messages of God. When should we try to focus on these? And we have lots of suggestions from the Bible. Psalm 5, verse 1. Read this with me. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So there it is, in the morning. And the meditation takes place, according to this psalm, in the morning. So when you pop out of bed, you should begin to meditate on the things of God. Sometime back, I listened to a pastor's message. He spoke at Dallas Seminary, and he was speaking on the subject of depression. And he said he went through a horrible period of depression in his life. And he says, you don't know what it's like. I would wake up in the morning, and about the time I was just clearing my mind, the way he said it, this thing would crawl on me. A heavy oppression in the morning. Well, just as surely as depression might crawl on you in the morning, morning is a really good time to start meditating on the true things of God. And so the psalm has it in the morning. And that's not all. The most famous psalm on the subject of meditation is the very first psalm, Psalm 1, verse 1. Read this one with me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, we have kind of two things going on here in this text. In the first place, the when is answered. When should we meditate on the biblical messages from God? And the answer is there, day and night. His delight is in the law, verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So he's going to think about this throughout the day. When it gets nighttime, he's going to think about it some more. If he happens to wake up in the middle of the night, he's going to think about the true messages of God some more. It's just the way his mind works. He's bringing his focus that direction until he has habituated that. It's just what he does. The benefits. Not only when should this be done, but what are the benefits of focusing on the biblical messages of God? What are the benefits? Well, you see, verse 1 opens up. Blessed is the man. There's a blessed man who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. That's a blessed man. This is the path to God's blessing. Another benefit in verse 3, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A river tree has the best of everything because there is the water right there. The tree might be so close that anytime the river rises a little bit, the tree gets plenty of water. At any rate, along the river, that's where some of the best growth is, and that's what happens if the man meditates, if he focuses his attention on the things of God day and night. One other thing at the bottom of verse 3 says, and whatever he does shall prosper. So what are the benefits? How would you like to be the tree by the river? Would you like to be the one who prospers? Would you like to be that blessed person? That person is the one who, according to this text, has a focus on the biblical messages of God. He keeps coming back to them like a worrier keeps coming back to his worries. And that's what you want to do with the good messages of God. The two premier texts on meditation are Psalm 1, Joshua 1. So we already looked at the first psalm. Now let's look at Joshua 1 and compare notes. You'll see how very similar they are. Read this with me. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Same idea. When do we do it? Meditate day and night. All the time. Like a worrier goes back to his worries. Day and night. And what will happen if we do? Prosperous success. This is what the Lord is doing in our lives if we will keep drawing our attention back. So that's where we are. Does that raise any questions or observations? Is that resonating with you? If you will practice, if you will cultivate this habit, your mind will learn. You will become a meditator just because you wanted to. You made it a priority. And if you do this, it's going to change the direction of your life. Russ, and then Josiah. Uh-huh. Good. Yeah, that's... You might dream about it in the meanwhile. Josiah. I would say you definitely have both. So you have the day and night thing. So you can see that that would be maybe a little more frequent and, if you will, superficial than the deeper things. But actually in Hebrew, the word does mean deep groaning. And so it definitely has a deep component to it. But if you can imagine, again, what a person who's a little OCD over something does. You might really overthink something if you are obsessed with it. You know, some of your best thoughts, well, simple things. For me, it's important that I know what I'm going to speak about a few days in advance for any of my lessons, because things will come to my mind over those several days. And so there's going to be some time when I'm absolutely concentrating. But there also might be some times when I'm mowing the grass and something occurs to me. I think, that really fits. So some of it is frequent and more superficial. Some of it is like throwing your whole focus on it. But in both cases, that's really important. Be deep and also be frequent and somewhat superficial. Do it all. Marie, you kind of ruined one of my points for later, but you're so right. And thank you. That's exactly right. Music is one of the most helpful things when it comes to meditation. Tom, and then Sharon. You lost it? I'm sorry. Sharon. Yes, that's a good analogy, the cow. All right. More on the subject of when, and if we do, what are the benefits? So from the 119th Psalm, which has quite a lot to say about meditation, we have verse 97. Read this with me. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments hast thou made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. All right, so once again, in answer to the question of when, we have my meditation all the day. See, it's a shame that it's so much easier for us to think about this in a negative way. If a guy has a problem with sex, he might have a problem with sex all the day. It's what he meditates on. It's what he keeps coming back to. And you say, well, now we want you to learn to meditate on God's word. And he says, I don't know how. If he's a worrier, he knows just what to do. And now you say, I want you to learn how to meditate on God's word. He doesn't know how. What we mean is you keep going back to it over and over and over in this text all the day. I love this. I think about it all the time. Some of the political people, they're all about politics, you know, listen to talk radio. We're going to talk about what's happening with abortion, what's happening with homosexuals and all of those things. They get all worked up to it and they go back to it over and over and over and now, and it never ends. It's their meditation all the day. And we say, well, I want you to do that with the word of God. Well, I don't really know what you mean. Well, the idea is that the Lord want you to think on these things, which we'll mention in just a minute, but the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy, think on these things. And we want you to go back to Him again and again and again all the time. If it's not true, if it's not honest, if it's not just, if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, quit thinking about it. Go back to the things that are all of that and think about it constantly. Force your mind to go back that direction and do it all the day. If you do, if you will, meditate on the things of God, the messages of God all the day, look what happens. Verse 98, I have become wiser than my enemies. Verse 99, I have more understanding than my teachers. Verse 100, I understand more than the old folks. That is what happens if you'll keep pulling your mind back. And of course, you want to be pretty careful before you toot your own horn like that. But it's okay for the psalmist, if he wants to, for the rest of us to say, I'm smarter than my enemies and I'm smarter than my teachers and I'm smarter than everybody. Don't ever say that, but it's okay for the psalms. Psalm 119 is very similar to Psalm 19. And so we have this great text, and look at all of the benefits. If you will meditate on God's word, what will happen to you? Here it is from verse 7. Read it with me. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, you see the benefits there. The word meditation occurs in verse 14 at the bottom of the slide. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. So this is all in the near context of meditation. And it says that the Lord's good messages convert the soul. Convert not only to become a Christian in the first place, but every time your soul needs to be converted further, you need to convert from what you used to do to what you should do. Convert from a negative, awful, sinful thought to something that is a good and wholesome and pure thought. Whenever your soul needs to be converted, that's accomplished by thinking about the true messages of God. Same thing, making wise the simple, to make you smart. The Word of God is able to make you smart, but only if it's your meditation all the day. Rejoicing the heart. The Word of God will change your emotional state. If you were worried, if you were angry, if you were sad, then what you would need to do is meditate on the word, because it causes your sadness, your worry, your anger to turn to rejoicing. It converts you from that to this. Enlightening the eyes, another way again of saying it makes you smart. So when we're talking about needing a warning, as you see underlined about 2/3 down, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You need a warning. You know, why didn't you tell me that I was going to be in trouble? The answer is, the Word of God probably did tell you, and you weren't listening so well. By them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them is great reward. That's what you wanted in life. You wanted to be greatly rewarded. You wanted it to turn out well, to prosper, to have success. Those are the things that you want. And these are the things that God typically sends to the person who will focus on His biblical message, what He wants you to think about. Think on these things. And so we find all of those benefits. And there's more. From the 119th Psalm again, verse 47, let us read it together. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Hope. Hope is always forward-looking confidence. I'm going to be okay in the future. And why do I think I'm going to be okay in the future? Oh, that would be because I'm meditating on the Lord's statutes. So I think I'm going to be okay, because when I thought about that, when I focused my attention on your biblical messages, hope came and filled my heart. That's the idea. If you're worried about the future, then the fix for that is going to be meditating, focusing on the biblical messages from God. And that's how the Lord heals the soul. And we have to take that seriously. Well, again, does that raise any questions or observations? You can see that the Lord is giving us all of this advice in Scripture. Now, that's why we sometimes call it the counsel of God. Remember before we were talking about Paul telling them that he did not keep back from them. He told them all the counsel of God. Counsel. It gives you advice. Warning. That's what you need. The counsel, the warning, the ability to see things that are invisible. Set your affection on things above. How would we know what is above? Unless the Lord had told us. And now we keep going back to it. Set your mind on it. Set your affection on it. Keep going back to it again and again and again. Because he wanted you to know that. And it would give you hope if you do. Josiah. Yeah, I think that it was probably in here last Wednesday. I can't remember. But I mentioned somewhere recently that Teresa and I were watching a show on television. And the people were so desperate to survive. And, you know, we're not supposed to be suicidal or anything. But I remember thinking how strange that is, that these people will do anything to survive. If they have to trample on others, if they have to be inordinately cruel, they don't care as long as they survive. They just have to survive. That is, for the Christian, that's such a backwards way of thinking. Why would we have to survive? We don't have to survive. We have to be heroes. Heroes don't have to survive. They just need to save people. We don't have to survive. We just have to be heroes. But they had it all so backwards. And I remember thinking, boy, you know, from start to finish, every character in this movie could sure use a good, hard dose of Scripture. They have no idea what they're living for. It was very sad. Angie was making reference to Ezra, the ready scribe in the Law of Moses, and said he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And so he was very intentional about it. I am going to pay attention to what the Lord says, and I'm going to do it. And aside from being intentional about it, maybe we would just let it slip away. So very good. Jim. Yeah, very, very nicely said. I was watching a political commercial during the news tonight. One of the politicians is shown sitting in a group of mostly women. And he says, why, something to the effect of, why should politicians who are mostly men be passing laws about the way women must use and keep their own bodies? And of course, the point has never been that the politicians were mostly men on the abortion issue. The point is, God made it up. It has no bearing at all on whether the politicians were male or female. God made it up. God thought that human life was important, that sex is to be reserved for marriage. God made it up. It's not male politicians, but of course, now the story, as Jim describes, the story is, there's no God component to the story. It's just a bunch of old men sitting around in a Capitol building passing laws that hurt women. And that story now is the story in which the children have their roots, and that's too bad. Pat, that's a great story. More benefits from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, this time in the New Testament. Paul's advice to young minister Timothy. Read this with me. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. All right, so you see in verse 15, meditate on these things. Paul's been telling Timothy the apostolic counsel, the apostolic advice that he has for Timothy. And he says, so Timothy, you remember what I'm telling you. You meditate on it. Like a worrier goes back to his worry, you go back to the things I'm telling you. You meditate on these things. And then what will happen? The benefits? Well, your profiting is going to appear to everybody. Everybody can see that this has been a wise way to live your life. Your profiting is obvious. The benefits are clear. And then at the very bottom of the slide, when you're done, you're going to end up saving yourself, not just salvation in the sense of from hell, but from all kinds of woes and heartaches. You'll save yourself. And not only that, you'll save the people who hear you. So what a nice thing. If you'll just focus on the biblical messages from God, you end up doing yourself a lot of good and a whole lot of other people as well. All right. This one is, again, one of those combinations. When and how can I focus my thoughts on the biblical messages of God? So from the 63rd Psalm, read this with me. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Well, if you look at the very first part of this passage and the very last part, you have the when. The first part, early in the morning, early will I seek you. I'll start early. And the last part, in the night watches. I'm going to remember you in the night watches. In the early part and in the night part. And of course, by implication, every time in between. So that's the when. And how shall we do it? Well, you have a variety of ways. So, for example, you see in verse 3, I'll praise you. And in verse 4, and I'll bless you, which is about the same. Verse 5, praise thee with joyful lips. Verse 6, I'll remember you. All of these are ways to meditate on the Lord's truths, the Lord's advice, the Lord's message, the Lord's will, the Lord's work. You've just got to think about it all the time. And if you will remember, now let's go through it again. What did the Lord do in biblical history? It's pretty great. How he rose from death, how the disciples were so happy. And what is the Lord doing in my lifetime? Wasn't it pretty great, I might say to myself. Wasn't it pretty great when we didn't know whether to send Josh to Liberty or to ODU, and he got a nice scholarship to Liberty, so we knew what to do. Wasn't that nice? That changed the whole trajectory of all of my son's education because they ended up doing that instead of something else. That was the Lord directing. There were two special times when Teresa and I seriously considered going back to Arizona. One was just in 1993 when we came to this church. Things were going bad in the Ocean View ministry, and it was clear that there was no obvious future. So we thought, I guess this is time. You know, we might need to go back. And then this church became available in August of 1993. Then the next time was when Josh was about ready to graduate from high school, and things hadn't been going real well, particularly in his sophomore, junior year. The church here, the ministry here, had kind of come to a grinding halt. Not much was going on. I remember talking to Pastor Steve one day. He was the youth pastor. I said, Steve, I think that there might be, say, 20 people here in our congregation who would be really disappointed if I left. The rest, one church is about as good as another to them. But I think 20 would be really disappointed if I left. And so we're thinking, you know, we're watching to see what happens. About the time Josh graduated from high school, there was a breakthrough. Our church just became a growing church again. There was a lot going on with the possibilities of the ministries increasing and being more influential, making a bigger impact in this area. So right when we could have left, there's a breakthrough. So we remember. I have a whole list of things over the years, how the Lord helped us at certain critical times. He gave us direction, and we remember. And so how do you meditate on the things of the Lord? Well, you praise him, and you remember, and then you are back on track again because you've seen the Lord's hand in your life. And, of course, in biblical history. so you remember. Similarly, from the 119th Psalm again, read it with me from verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. But we do. So many years ago, my friend said, why do I have to read the story of Noah again? I already know the story of Noah. I've known the story of Noah for years. Maybe so, but I bet there are a lot of things that you've forgotten about the story of Noah, too. As a matter of fact, there are probably a lot of things you've forgotten about the life of Daniel, the life of David, the life of Abraham, the life of Joseph. And that text says, I'm not going to let myself forget. I'm going to think about this. And if you are like me, you're always amazed at all of the things you forget. You're playing a game of Bible trivia and they ask that question, who is so-and-so's wife? Oh, I know that. I can't tell you right now, but I know that. I could have told you yesterday. I could tell you tomorrow. I can't tell you now. We forget. From the 77th Psalm, verse 11, read it with me. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Sometimes meditation happens like in here. That's what we're doing right now. That's why sometimes we call this, I'm going to bring a little meditation from the 119th Psalm. It happens when we talk about what the Lord is doing and it draws our attention. So why is it that you have to put the keys in the ignition and drive here to church or to yet another Bible study? It's because when you get here, we're going to meditate on the things of God. We're going to talk about all God's doings. And maybe if you were home right now, you might have forgotten to do that. I have to go pretty quickly through these so that we don't go over time over much. This one talks about music. How can we remember the biblical messages of God? Marie told us a minute ago, music. Let me read this one by myself. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. I think I'm going to write a song, says the psalmist. I'm going to write a song. And this is how I feel about the Lord. It's music. In this case, writing music. From the 104th Psalm, same thing. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. When you are washing dishes or working on the car and you're humming a song, whistling a song, singing a song, whatever it is that you do, that's a good thing. My meditation of him shall be sweet, in the near context of singing. Singing and music are excellent ways for you to meditate on the things of the Lord. So here's the conclusion. Scripture constantly appeals to us to direct our thoughts toward God in a good biblical way. Not making up our own thoughts about our own kind of God that we've made in our own image. A good biblical way. Praying without ceasing. Being thankful for all things. Blessing the Lord at all times. Sacrificing praise to God continually. Thinking on these things. Setting our affection on things above, etc. All those Bible verses. All of these are just other ways of speaking about meditation. Cultivating as many true biblical thoughts of God in our minds as possible all day, every day. That's meditation. And if you will try to cultivate a habit of bringing your thoughts back to God, it is going to change your emotional state. It's going to change your intelligence, your wisdom, your insight. And it's going to change the choices that you make. You're going to be a more obedient person. And that's why we meditate.